You are now listening to the Inner Circle Podcast Network.
Hashtag no offense uses strong language and is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Hashtag no offense.
Back to another episode of Hashtag No Offense. My name is Chris, and I'm joined, as always, by the Duchess.
Hello.
Tonight, we have a very special guest in the house.
Run the Jewels?
Well, it's Run the Jewels right this second. We got new Run the Jewels, so I would be hard-pressed to not kick off this episode with some new Run the Jewels. But aside from the musical guests, so to speak, we have Mr. DeAndre Wilson in the house. What's up, brother?
What's going on, Pete?
Oh, you know, just another beautiful Central Florida evening. We're battling some rain. We got some nice humidity, but you know, we're blessed to be sitting here talking to you tonight.
Yes,
I like the way that sounds.
If you don't mind, before we get too deep, we got some sponsor recognition we need to hit real quick. Hashtag No Offense Show every week is sponsored by the Hemp Bomb CBD Company. Hemp bombs are specifically formulated to provide consumers with a quality CBD product at an affordable price. Many benefits of hemp bomb CBD include reduced anxiety, increased sense of relaxation, reduction of aches and pains, mood enhancement, and deeper, more restful sleep. Hemp bombs come in a wide variety of different products, including oils, gummies, suckers, vapes, and even products for your pet. Use HTNOS, that's HTNOS, at hempbombs.com and save 20% on your entire order.
You gotta add bath bombs now.
We got those today. I haven't tried them. I don't know if I'm going to see myself taking a bath.
Those are for me.
Yeah, those are for Dutch. Dutch will report back on the effectiveness of the bath bombs. But there's something there for everybody. DeAndre, in your line of work, I think maybe you could use something for some aches and pains, man. We're going to have to hook you up with some hemp bombs.
I'd appreciate that. I do. I will need some of those. You're absolutely correct.
We are also sponsored by Onnit.com. Onnit is a health and fitness juggernaut dedicated to delivering complete and total human optimization. Through a wide array of products and supplements, Onnit combines cutting-edge science, earth-grown nutrients, and time-tested strategies to help people reach their peak performance. I'm on the alpha brain because it helps my mind. Dutch is on the gut health because it helps her insides.
helps me get them out.
They got all kinds of stuff. They got Shroom Tech Immune to keep your immune system going. They got workout equipment. They got kettlebells. They got battle ropes. They got comfortable clothes. Whatever you need to make yourself a better version of yourself, visit onnit.com. That's onnit.com/htnos and save 10% on your entire order.
Let me say, since I've been taking the gut health, what I like about it is a lot of stuff that you other things that you would take for that give you like this cramping feeling. You don't get cramps with this one.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, because normally you'd be like, ooh, because I drink a tea to try to help with that, and I feel like shit the next day. But with the gut health, it's fine. There's no cramping or uncomfortableness.
Well, that's good to know. That mm-hmm. See, that's I'm glad that we actually use the products that we support because
yeah, right.
We have anecdotal evidence to back up the fact that they're good high quality, mm-hmm. as producer Nick would say.
And it's good fucking high quality.
Mm-hmm. So that being said, DeAndre, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thanks for reaching out. Thanks for reaching out to us. I mean, you slid in those DMs like those nasty Instagram girls do, but you know what I'm talking about, girl.
Yeah, he's telling the truth. They do. It's so weird.
I probably get more messages than he does.
Wait, what?
From Dirty Girls.
Whoa.
Well, yeah, we haven't talked about that before.
I'm just
joking.
Okay.
DeAndre is part or not part of, he is the creative force behind the Get Rolling campaign. I guess we'll just kick it off. DeAndre, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Okay, cool. So With the keep rolling campaign, appreciate that. Appreciate you announcing that. Let the world know.
I said get rolling. Man. We're keeping rolling. We're already rolling.
Okay, it happens.
We're already rolling.
As long as you're moving. As long as you're moving.
Exactly.
Getting moving. That's what's important. That's what's important. I've been doing it for 2 years now, and it's completely changed my life in a positive way. I mean, it's fitness, it's community conversation, it's cancer awareness, all wrapped up into one. I started doing it after I lost my dad. You know, he did it while he was alive. He had stage 4 liver cancer and colon cancer, but he was able to beat the colon cancer. Mm-hmm. But the liver was just so far gone. But after chemo treatment, he would come home, eat, and then he would go rolling around the city of Evansville. And he enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing it. I enjoyed hearing about it. And people would always talk to me about doing it. And I was, you know, I would say never. It's never going to happen. It's too heavy.
Yeah.
It doesn't look fun. Like, I'm not going to do this. Mm-hmm. And back in 2019, it just hit me. You know, I weighed 240 at the time. And I wasn't where I wanted to be mentally and physically. I had all of his belongings, including the tire. My first business that my brother and I started was put on pause, so that was a bummer. And, you know, I just got the tire out. And I would roll it around at night and flip it and do push-ups on it, just trying to figure out how to maneuver this thing because, you know, really and truly, I take fitness. Fitness is so important to me, and that's one of the reasons why I do it and why it's so near and dear to my heart because it's like my dad was rolling this tire battling cancer. And so at this point, we don't have any excuses of why we're not doing some type of physical activity throughout the day, whether it's walking, just do push-ups and sit-ups in the comfort of your home, something.
Yeah, and that's a big-ass tire, too. What kind of tire is that? That's a big-ass tire. It's not just like a regular tire. It's like a tractor tire, right?
So it's a tractor tire, It weighs 230 pounds.
See, and that's actually a good lead-in. That was one of my questions. Like, why the tire? Because, like, I didn't – we watched the clip that you had sent us, and it explained it was a tractor tire. But before then, I was like, I didn't have a visual representation. So I was like, it's got to be huge. Is it like a monster truck tire? Like –
That's what I thought at first.
Yeah, like I had this all worked up in my mind because I'm like a small child. I mean, I'm 40 on the outside, but I'm a child on the inside, and I'm building up this whole like origin story for your dad. I'm like, maybe he was a monster truck driver, and then like he had to retire, but he loved the sport so much that he just took one of the tires from the truck with him, and he just had to be connected to it. And I guess that wasn't the case.
I mean, you're not terribly far off. My dad worked in sanitation. Oh, yes. Yeah, worked in sanitation. So those large trash trucks have ginormous tires. Not as big as tractor tires, but they are enormous. And one of his jobs was to change those tires. So I remember he would go to work with a weight belt on, and he would change them. And being in a sanitation, landfill, all those things, there are tractor tires back there for whatever reason. And, you know, that's where he got it. He just brought it home and he said, I'm going to roll it. And I said, well, have fun.
Well, that's insane under like normal circumstances. And then you're saying like he would get done with treatments and then he would come home and he would just say, because I mean, I've known people that have gone through chemo and that usually just knocks it.
Them.
Yeah, that knocks the life right out of you. And he was like, you know what?
Mind over matter.
Yeah, fuck it. I'm here. Let's do it.
Mental toughness all the way. Mental toughness. You know, he knew because of the stage the liver was in, he was going to die. I mean, he knew that, but he refused to go without a fight. And so we can learn so much from that. And like I said before, we have no excuses not to be active in any way, shape, or form. Just do something. I don't care what it is, but be active. Walk around your block, something.
See, we struggle with that both of us together with exercising and working out, and I mean diet and eating right and all that, and like we have the discussion just amongst ourselves, like, because she's like, if I don't get to go to the gym X amount of days, then why even bother? Because I mean, like, I ate bad and I didn't do this, so why even bother? And I'm like, well, one day's better than 0 days. I mean, like, you got to do something. I mean, you're maybe not going to see the results as fast as you want, but I mean, something is better than nothing.
Well, in the last couple weeks, we've been doing real good. We've been eating healthier. I've been exercising Monday through Wednesday or Monday through Thursday. And Friday's kind of like we do the show and we eat takeout. So then on the weekend,
we drink these Guinnesses.
Yeah, well, I have wine. But I'm trying. But if I'm a yo-yo though. Like I'm just like up and down and up and down and up and down. But it feels like I, no matter how hard I try, I just hit this plateau and I just cannot get over it. Doesn't matter if I do like a crash diet or like a healthy diet or exercise every day. It just, I feel like when I get to a certain point that that's all I can do. And then I get frustrated and I give up. But I've probably used every kind of fad that you can probably imagine. I've bought so much shit off the internet. I've got a Body Boss book sitting in the in my bedroom. I use like the kettlebell workouts that I find on YouTube. I've done It Works with those pills. I've had the that supposedly miracle fruit pill that you're supposed to take and supposed to melt fat away. I've tried Carcina
Gobina or that something. Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I have that water jug, by the way, but mine's blue, and I love it.
I bought it for her because she don't drink water, and she will make it like to maybe the first notch, and then that's
Because I sit for my job. I sit in front of a computer all day, and right now I'm working from home, so it's even harder. So I'm like, the least I can try to do is drink some water, drink enough water. Yeah. So it is nice because that way I don't have to get up and go somewhere to get it. I just have it next to me, and I can pour it in my cup. So that makes me drink more water. But it's really hard. And then I also find that it's so much more expensive. We spend so much money a week on groceries trying to eat healthy rather than just buying a bunch of frozen shit and try to save money.
Yeah.
It's night and day.
That's a product of just like the state of the union right now, I think.
No, it's like that before. It's
more expensive to eat healthy and like eat right than it is to eat convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eating healthy is you know, been expensive. I mean, it's what you do, but I'm a firm believer of just brown rice and vegetables and chicken. That's affordable, and salmon. Get your body on a nice routine. You know, there's avocados are obviously expensive, and just eating more fruit and vegetables, that'll help. Like you mentioned, drinking the water, that'll help. You know, I drink two of these a day.
Damn.
And I've seen, I've seen
that's a lot of water.
And I've seen a major change in just drinking that. And, you know, I work out in my backyard. I do belong to a gym. I'm sponsored by a gym. But for a while, I was working out in my backyard where I would take the tire and do push-ups on it, hit it with a sledgehammer. Mm-hmm. I went and bought a weight vest, wore the weight vest while I was hitting it with the sledgehammer and doing push-ups. So I was in my backyard just making it happen. I'm a firm believer of baby steps, though.
Yeah.
And so I like your commitment to 4 days a week. That's fine. That's good. Just keep doing that. If you, and like I said, if you ever kind of not, you know, don't feel motivated, just walk, let those endorphins release.
I was like, might change your mind. We have a pool in the backyard. So even just getting in the pool and swimming around for a little bit, it gets your heart rate up.
Absolutely. Swimming is fun. And that's a great workout.
You were doing all that workout in the yard in addition to pushing the tire?
Yeah.
Man, what are you trying to prove?
For himself.
Man, the tire in and of itself has got to be enough. It's got to be enough.
It was. But for me, it's two things. Trying to move that thing and learn how to do it, I was like, this is how did my dad do this? Like, I was trying to learn.
There's got to be a technique. And I've,
you know, had to work out.
There's got to be a technique.
You got to have a special route with no hills.
Right.
Well, I seen him pushing it uphill. I seen him pushing it uphill.
Well, if you go downhill, then you're screwed because then you just jump in it and hope for the best. You know?
Runaway time.
You got to run with it. Oh, you got to keep up. That's the challenge. Wow. So I've done that before, but for me, the reason why I was doing all this, because I wanted to own my health immediately. So I get it. I was a bit on the extreme side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I always tell people, just walk, you know, that's fine. Just walk around the park, your neighborhood, let those endorphins release. You'll feel better.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because when I don't do it, then you just feel like gross. And then when you start doing it, it's almost like an addiction to where like, okay, well, I have to do this today because I did it yesterday. And you do feel a lot better. It's just getting the motivation to start.
Yeah, definitely. Because I see, I put a post on Facebook. I said, work out now before your doctor makes you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people messaged me and were like, you're absolutely right. Can you help me lose weight? I was like, yeah, I can help motivate you because that's so true. Because when the doctor makes you, then it's no longer fun.
Right. Then you have to eat brown rice and chicken breasts. It's not a choice.
I like that stuff. She's like, it gets boring. And
it
I'm like,
does.
Man,
I can't. Man. I like food a lot.
I do too, but I'll eat salmon and chicken titties for every day. I don't shit, man. That's fine with
me.
Yeah.
The tuna, figure it out.
I'm telling you.
Your kale.
She's picky. You know, picky. That's a problem.
Well, I'm picky, but I eat everything. I just can't eat the same thing every day.
No sense.
I could, but I don't know, it gets boring to me. Then I don't even want to eat at all. I don't throw a bag of broccoli in the microwave for 5 minutes every day. Like, I don't know. It just seems like.
You could figure it out. You could always switch it up. Have broccoli one day, asparagus the next day, kale the next day, spinach the next day. You could switch it up.
Yeah, I've been getting like the steam bag of cauliflower too and then putting in the food processor and making it like, you know, the cauliflower mash instead of potatoes. Like little changes like that helps too. Or we get the riced cauliflower.
Yeah, you can make it happen. But I can tell you, because I've been grocery shopping and buying, you know, vegetables and fruits, my grocery bill has starting to look better when I versus buying all the frozen stuff I used to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will. So, well, our problem is too, DeAndre, I don't know, how old are you?
I'm 28.
Do you have any kids yet?
No.
See, that's the good thing for you, man, because you got to buy for you. Like, I got to buy corn dogs and chicken fingers and all that stuff for the kids. And I don't have any willpower, dude. My problem is sweets. My problem is candy and popsicles and sweets. I'm a sweethead, man, and that sugar just fucks me up. And I've got.
I'm with you.
I can't do it, man. If it's in the house, I can't do it. If it's not here, I'm fine.
Right.
I don't go out of my way to get it, but they bring it in the house, and I can use them as a scapegoat. So, you know,
that's how I am with pop. Like, I love pop. Like, sometimes I'll be like, I'm having a bad day, and I'm like, can you just bring me like a regular ass Coke home and not this Diet Coke shit? Like, I need a regular Diet Coke. Coke.
That's like I said, like the before when I was saying, like, I've made little steps, like, you know, like I used to be addicted to energy drinks. I cut those out. I used to drink like full calorie sodas, and now I drink Diet Cokes. And I mean, it's not like, you know, I'm changing the world, but little changes are better than, you know what I mean? And she's like,
definitely.
Why even bother? I'm not drinking Diet Coke because you're still drinking. It's still bad for you. And I'm like, yeah, but it's less bad, you know? Gross. Like,
I'll drink it now because it's here, but I think it's gross.
Well,
thank
you.
I admire the baby steps. That's what it's all about, baby steps. And eventually you'll be like, I don't even need this.
I don't even need it.
Because I feel like it's an addiction to a point, too. Like, your body gets used to it and then it needs it. So it's almost like a withdrawal. Just like if you're on caffeine or like you drink a lot of coffee or you smoke cigarettes, you need the nicotine. I feel like sugar is the same way. Like your body feels like it needs it.
Yeah. And then just like that other stuff, as soon as I'm done with it, man, like I feel horrible about myself. I'm like, why did I do that? Why did I just do that?
You know, I love sugar cookies and snickerdoodles. Those.
Oh, yeah. I'll crush those.
Oh, yeah. I would sit down and eat the whole bag.
We take the kids.
But I have to work on that.
Publix and they want a cookie, and I'm like, I like when they come with us because then they just get the one cookie. If they're not with us, then we get the box of cookies, they have a cookie and then we eat the cookies.
Yeah.
You got to have a glass of milk.
Oh my gosh, it's like, heck yeah, with those with like sugar cookies and snickerdoodles, absolutely.
DeAndre, tell me a little bit about your dad since he started this, and you know, like we already touched on, you know, was doing this. I want to say, like, you know, to the end of his life, you know, but I mean, like, literally, I heard you say it, you know, before he was pushing it while he was dying.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me, man. That's absolutely crazy to me. Tell me a little bit about your dad. Was he a health and fitness guy, like, while he was alive? Like, was that his jam, or did he do this just, you know, like, at the end of his life?
Spread messages and all that.
Throughout my whole life. You know, my dad was in shape. I was very blessed to have a dad that wanted to be a bodybuilder. So I had a gym, whether it was in the house or the garage, a full gym, no matter what. Mm. And before I was born, he wanted to actually compete. And so there's pictures on my social media and soon to be on the website of him, you know, posing and working out and things like that. So he's always been in shape. The house, growing up and seeing him, we always ate healthy-ish, sort of, you know. I had my frozen pizzas, but he always, you know, turkey bacon, eggs, protein shakes.
Sure.
I was always around those things. But, he always was in shape, and he always wanted to be healthy, and he wanted to be a bodybuilder, but I came into the world.
You know what? We have a friend that was into bodybuilding, and same thing. He got, you know, hooked up with his now wife and had a kid, and bodybuilding kind of went on the wayside.
Yeah.
But that's okay, though. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
But he still worked out, though. He still worked out every day as if he was going to be a bodybuilder.
See, that's great. And I feel like that's important for kids to see your parents do that. And that's what I was telling, because I was talking to the same guy that he's talking about. Shout out Almy, because him and his wife are pretty active. They go for walks with their kids. I'm like, our kids probably see us sitting down watching television. And we haven't been out doing anything because of everything that's been going on with the COVID mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So we can't really go out anywhere. So really all we do is sit around. But there are other things that we can do. Now that they have friends in the neighborhood, they can run around outside and stuff. But I feel like we should be doing those things too, because it's all about setting an example.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. Being consistent. So with me being in the neighborhood rolling a tire, you know, you're starting to see people walk more and tell me about their goals. And that's awesome. I'm not asking for those things, but because I'm consistent and leading by example, it's happening.
And you might have kids in the neighborhood that don't have a good role model at home, and you could do that for them. Yeah. So that's awesome, too, to have them know that they have somebody to look up to if they don't have that person at home.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely happening. Yeah, it happens.
And it sounds like you had a good relationship with your dad, too. So it was probably an easy decision to kind of take up the mantle, so to speak, you know. And it's almost like a tribute, you know what I mean? Like carrying on that legacy.
Yeah.
I know you said that you never thought that you were going to ever push it yourself. I mean,
absolutely.
Did that play into it a lot? Like, just kind of like, I'm going to do this for dad?
Yeah, that definitely is where it came from. It was like, I'm going to do this because I always remember him saying, you know, it's the full body workout. You can get in shape. You know, I weigh 240. I didn't want to do that. My mind wasn't where I wanted it to be. My health wasn't where I wanted it to be. And I was just like, you know, I'm going to work out. I'm going to start working out. And then gradually, when I started taking the tire through the neighborhood and rolling it, that's when the social media and all the interviews came in. I just wanted to work out and own my health. That's what I wanted to do. That's why I was rolling it at night, because, you know, people are asleep while I'm in the middle of the street rolling this. I wouldn't, you know, when I wouldn't have to worry about being bothered, or I'd work out in my backyard at night doing push-ups. Again, not being bothered by kids in the neighborhood.
Well, when you first start doing it, you're probably out of breath and you're figuring it, you're trying to like work through your stuff.
Technique,
yeah. And that you're more comfortable with doing it, it's easier for you. Because I found that the more that you do it, your body adjusts and it's easier to do. Like with the machine that we have in the bedroom, I do that 15 minutes for 3 days a week, because it's one of those like Bowflex machines where it's like a high intensity, whatever. And you're only supposed to do 15 minutes. The first time I did that thing, I didn't even make it 5 minutes on it. And I had to get off because I was like sweating and I didn't have any breath in me. But then the more you do it, your body gets used to it and it's better.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
Now that you're used to it, you have the motive, you have the, you know, you can stop and talk to people, or you know what I mean?
What kind of response have you gotten around town? Because, I mean, like, now that you are doing it, not, you know, under the shadow of night, you know, like, you're out in the daytime and you're pushing down the street where there's people going by, like, what kind of reaction do you get?
There's a fire guy.
let me say you can't have the good without the bad. Let me start. Let me open with that. And on the positive end, so the good side, you know, I get hit on a lot.
Well, because obviously you're in shape. So, I mean, it's on display, you know?
Yeah, right there. People want to give me money for the campaigns. So that's cool.
Nice. Wow, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. People are always taking my picture. People want to take pictures with me.
Become kind of like a local celebrity.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I'm on a lot of people's phones.
Now, did your dad put Cancer Sucks on the tire when he was rolling it, or is that something you added to it?
He had that on there. He added it. And here recently, I had a friend of mine touch it up because it was starting to kind of like crack and fade out. And then so he touched up that one side, and then he put it on the other side as well. So when I'm taking pictures, I don't have to turn the tire around. It's now on both sides.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
How long after your dad passed did you start rolling the tire?
It was 4 years.
4 years. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
How long? How long has he been gone now?
5 years.
5 years. Oh, so, man. He died when you were young, man. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I was 24.
Yeah, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it. He knew the entire time too. I mean, how long did he have to roll the tire once he found out?
It was 18 months.
Wow, man. I'm sorry to hear that. But at least he got out and he got something going, and he, like, you know, like we said, left a legacy for his son too. Because I mean, like, I can relate in being like the, you know, being a dad with my kids. Like, I always wonder about that, and that's kind of why I enjoy doing the show. Because like I told her a couple weeks ago, I was like, if I was to get into a car accident, not to be too morbid or anything, but if I was to just get into a car accident and die today, I have hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of my voice that when they reach a certain age and they, you know, have the desire to, they can actually sit down and they can hear me talk to them.
They'd have to be at least 18.
Well, yeah, that's it. We say, look, we say some strong words. You know? I mean, they might have to be a little bit older, but I mean, like he left you something, and that's really, I mean, aside from all the good that you're doing with it, like that's something that's I think is priceless, man. Like from a father to a son, it's I mean that's you can't even put a price on that.
Mm-mm. Thank you.
Now I'm known to be a little on the woo-woo side kind of with things lately. Like, I'm starting to get a little bit out there. And I have a kind of a weird question for you that I don't think anyone has touched on, at least in the interviews that I've heard with you with a couple of my friends that have talked to you. Do you believe that, like, since your dad spent so much time with the tire and he was pushing it and everything and like physically laying hands on it, and now you do that, do you feel any of that energy coming off to you? Like, you know, like almost like you carry a little bit of him with you now?
Yeah, that was why I was doing it at night. It was to be at one with the tire and being one with that moment.
Yeah, that's
I mean, of
awesome.
Of course I was dropping the thing, and you know, right. I hated that part because you have to pick it back up, but mm-hmm. I was being at one with the tire. So no, you're absolutely right. That does happen. And now it's, you know, it's just a feeling. It's just now it happens, but that's why I was doing it at night.
That's awesome. 'Cause that's one of the first things I thought of, you know, it's just, you know, we've been having a lot of these, I don't want to say crazy talks, but you know, like these, you know, kind of
everything
kind of,
happens for
kind
a
of
reason,
fringe talks,
putting positive stuff into the universe.
Yeah, and you know, mm-hmm. like energy, you know, energy goes on, and you know, this and that, mm-hmm. and I mean, like it's that was like his deal, you know, especially at the end of his life, you know, like transferring that onto you, like that's a powerful thing.
Yeah, that's why I did it at night. Yep, that's what happened. Hearing the voice over and over in my head, and trying to understand the physics behind it. Like, how did he maneuver this thing? This is crazy.
See, for my day job, I work in the beer industry, and I have to handle kegs mm-hmm. a lot. And when I first came in, I remember just trying to like muscle up on a keg, and you like the old timers, they were like, "No, you can't do it. There's like technique to this. You got to spin it like this, and you got to do it like that." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And like, "Yeah, make it move for you. You're not trying to move it yourself." And I'm sure, like to on a much grander scale, it's kind of the same thing. Because I mean, if that thing falls on you, I mean, like that could fuck you
hurt.
Up. Yeah, no, hurt,
it can.
Hurts an understatement. I'm sure
it can.
I mean, yeah,
it does hurt when it falls and you hit a curb the wrong way. It does hurt. It does.
Now, with all like Dutch mentioned a little bit, with all the craziness with like the corona and the COVID and all that, were you guys at a shelter in place where you live at all, like where you couldn't go outside?
For a little bit, but I mean, I still kept my distance from people, and I still went and rolled
you
my
still
tire.
Got
to get yeah, because I mean, you're outside. It's not like you're going to fucking Target rolling your tire inside the store.
Yeah, I was outside.
Well, I didn't know how crazy it is because we're in Florida, and we're been very loosey goosey throughout the whole thing to where everybody's pointing fingers at us and laughing down here. Ha ha, y'all stupid in Florida. So mm-hmm. I don't know how they were doing it in the Midwest. You know,
I think for the first 2 weeks we were like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And then after that. This is my opinion on things that on what I saw on like social media and in my experiences. After about the first 2 weeks, people kind of like, well, I can go outside or I can go to the store. I can do this. I just need to keep my distance and
right. Protect yourself.
Yeah. So that's all that was.
Well, that's good. 'Cause I mean, like you have to deal with, you know, the off season with weather and things like that anyway. So, I mean, like you don't need another mm-hmm. thing to hamstring you, you know, and have you, you know, be downtime with you know, your livelihood.
Yeah. That's one thing I say, you know, we raise our immune system and you'll be fine with a lot of different things.
Well, and that's where with our kids, I don't make them wash their hands all the time. I never did. If they're playing outside, I don't make them wash their hands before they eat. I mean, unless they're like really gross. But for the most part, like I feel
always really gross.
I feel like germs are good to an extent because it does help mm-hmm. build your immune system. I'm not about giving them medicine when they have a little bit of cough. I let their body do the work. And I feel that plays a big part on if something like this does go around, maybe our kids wouldn't be, you know, so susceptible to what's the word I'm looking for?
Susceptible.
Yeah, to it because they have, you know, a good immune system. Because I let their body do what it's supposed to do and fight off viruses and stuff like that. You know, and that was always the same way growing up. Like, we never, I mean, we got our vaccines, of course, but my mom wasn't really about washing our hands all the time either. And we played in the mud and did all kinds of, like, you know, because I grew up in the Midwest, too. I grew up in Hammond, Indiana. So we were outside when I was a kid playing manhunt. We were under porches and all kinds of stuff. Just like
under porches.
Rolling around in the dirt, you know, like we didn't care. We played just football. Doing under the porch. We were hiding because we were playing manhunt. So, I mean, we were rolling around in the dirt and stuff and. Like, we never got sick. Our kids never get sick. And I feel like, well, if it worked for me, it probably worked for them. So far, so good.
So, DeAndre, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing with the Keep Rolling. And you mentioned that you were sponsored. You mentioned that you're raising awareness for the cancer research. Tell us a little bit about that stuff.
So, yeah. So there's a local gym here in Evansville called Cham Fit Studios, and they sponsor me. So that's really cool to be sponsored.
Absolutely.
But the purpose with the Keep Rolling campaign is I raise money for nonprofits or families who are experiencing cancer.
Okay.
That's awesome.
And yeah, thank you. And I'm going to officially start that July 1st with, I'm going to pick a nonprofit and I'll put a GoFundMe link out there and I'll say, hey, for the month of July, I pledge to roll 40 miles. And please donate, you know, whatever you can. I know times are a little difficult right now, but whatever you can donate, just, you know, donate something. So that's the goal. That's what I'm going to start doing. I'll do those 5 times a year.
Okay.
So one in July, August, September, October, November, and then my seasonal end in December. Although I do want to roll the tire in snow, not too far, but I do want to try it.
Got to try everything once, right?
Got to try at least once. Mm-hmm. But other than that, my season will be done in December and January I'll be done. February I'll be off and pick back up in March if the weather is even decent. Because, you know, here in Indiana, it could have a blizzard in March.
Oh yeah. I went up there for Easter 1 year and it snowed.
Yeah.
In April.
So we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Like she said, we grew up in the Midwest. You know, I'm from South Chicago. She's from Northwest Indiana. So, I mean, yeah, we're accustomed to that stuff.
Yeah.
So what do you do in the off season? Then you just work out at home?
Yeah, I'll spend more time in the gym and things like that, getting ready for the next season to come up. But right now, taking up a lot of my time is the documentary that I'm creating right now. I didn't know how difficult it was to create a documentary. I'm having fun, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that goes into it. And so the purpose of the documentary is I'm telling my story, my dad's story, the community story. It's going to be great. It's going to be either 30 to 45 minutes. And that in itself has been a process.
Sure.
Do you have someone like following you with a camera interviewing you, or like how are you doing it?
It's all different angles and setups. So I do have someone on following me on a skateboard or a bike. This depends on what the goal is for that day.
Okay.
Or sometimes walking. It just depends. Mm-hmm. I also get interviews from different people in the community about their experiences and what they think about the tire and their health and their goals and things of that nature. So we do a lot. We've got a lot going on in this documentary. I can't wait till it's done.
Do you ever think about, you know, how they sometimes do like a turkey walk or whatever for November and it has like everybody just walking together? Do you ever think about maybe like doing something like that with your tire and just have everybody like roll a bike tire behind you or something and then pledges and stuff for that?
Yeah, I participated in 2 5Ks.
With the tire?
With the tire.
Oh, that's awesome.
Bro. Yeah. Oh, man.
That's so cool. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine.
I might be saying this wrong, but a 5K, what is that? Is that?
It's like 3.5 miles.
3.5 miles. I mean, I've gone 12 miles. So I couldn't even do that on a bicycle. 3 miles wasn't anything.
Right. And then how much time does 12 miles take? Is that like an all day thing?
It was roughly 5 or 6 hours.
Okay. He went 12 miles.
Yeah. In
5 or 6 hours.
That's insane.
It's insane. Yeah, I don't think I can go 12 miles like that.
12 miles with 12 miles without the tire. Right. I don't know if that would be feasible. I mean, like, I do usually like 3 or 4 on the machine at the gym and like I'm good. Mm-hmm. Like I'm done.
And it's all about pushing yourself. Like, okay, I did 3 miles today. Let's see if I can do 3.5 today. That's how I do it on my machine because I think my My best so far is like you burn the calories. I'm not sure if they're true calories, but it's like I got up to 180 the other day and I haven't gotten past 165. So I feel like I'm like, all right, let me see. And then last like 20 seconds and I'm like at, you know, 175. I'm like, let me see if I can get to 180 in that last, you know, however many seconds. So it's
good
all
for
about
you, girl.
Pushing
yourself.
It was nice because the other, was it yesterday I was doing the machine and my littlest one, the one that busted in here earlier, he was on my phone in the bed. He's like, yeah, I get it, Mom. And
I heard him. Like, I heard him from the other room. He's like, yeah, because the machine, it goes like ding, ding, ding. And it's like almost like it's a prize intervals. Fight, like you're starting. And I heard the bell ring and he was like, yeah, Mom, get it.
Like, there you go. Yeah.
There's like a minute 20, like just steady. And then 25 seconds is like, you really got to push it. And then it goes back to a minute and then you push it again. And so when it kicks in, he was like, yeah. And then he asked me why I do it. I'm like, because I want to stay healthy and I want to be around for a long time. Because out of nowhere, a couple weeks ago, he asked me when he was going to have to put me in the ground. And I'm like, I'm like, dude, you're 5. Don't be thinking like that.
Yeah.
I lost my mom about a year ago. So he remembers all of that. So when he was asking me that question, he was thinking about her. And I'm like, oh, don't worry about that. We've got plenty of years to think about that. You know what I mean? So I'm like, well, and I use every chance I get to be kind of like a learning experience. So I try to tell him, as long as you eat right and exercise, you know, you put a little bit more years on your life, and that's good. So it's like you try to set a good example and teach them. But in the long run, they're going to do what they want to do.
I was going to say, during those conversations, he's glassy-eyed looking at you going, all right, can I have some White Castles?
Yeah, but at the same time, they listen when you don't think they're listening. You know, once in a while, because we have a 10-year-old too, and we'll be talking to him about, you know, empathy and sympathy and just like being a good person in general. And sometimes I'll hear him repeating stuff that I've said, even though I think that he's not listening, they listen.
Yeah.
You know, because if their little friends come over and they want to do something and Lucas is like, I'm not doing that. And Logan's like, you know, they're the guest. You know, we'll do what they want to do for a little bit. You know, so it's like they hear you, even though you don't think they do.
I agree with that.
DeAndre, where do you want to see? Where do you see this going? Like, what are your goals? Because, I mean, like when you said you're 27, you said?
To 28.
28 years old, man. And for doing this as long as you have, and like you mentioned that you had a business and then you're doing this, and like you've got, I admire the hustle, man. You got a lot going on. Like what with the documentary even too, like where do you want to see all this go? Like what's your end game?
With the documentary, once it's done, I plan on entering it in a lot of film festivals, and to the point of like, you know, I want to spend a lot of my money on entering it in and film festivals. Like I will cut down on whatever I need to make that a reality, because I know that if this is seen across the country, there's no telling where it will go. I would like to be on maybe the Ellen show.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Or anyone's show for that matter. So that's the first one that came to mind. But I mean, anyone's show.
Well, because she has people on the internet all the time that are doing good things. And you're definitely doing a good thing. And you may start a movement. You may used to see people pushing tires that say cancer sucks on it with your face on their, you know, on their shirt. You know, you never know. It can go anywhere.
You never know.
You know?
And then I would also like to be on ESPN E60. I think that would be really cool, too.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Well, it's definitely admirable what you're doing, and that, like I said, it's good that you're raising awareness. It's good that you're raising some money, and then at the same time too, honoring your dad.
Yeah, we're hitting all those points.
Absolutely,
I love it.
DeAndre, do you like where you live? That's a hard turn. That's a hard turn.
It's okay. It's okay. I've recently fallen in love with San Antonio.
Oh wow, okay.
I just can't. I dream about San Antonio. I think about it every day.
Have you been there then?
Yes. Yes, I have. I took a vacation there. I was there for 7 days.
Wow.
And it was everything I dreamed of.
That's funny you say that, because that's actually what happened to us with Florida. We came here on vacation a couple of times and fell in love with it. And here we are. We live here now and we love it. And it's crazy. And, you know, everybody laughs at us and points fingers. And that's actually the reason why I asked you that, because I was going to say, we do a little segment where we talk about crazy Florida shit. And it's not that we don't love where we live. I absolutely love it. And I love the crazy, but we poke fun at it, too.
So. I think that you should get sponsors and you should roll your tire to Texas, and then they'll pay for your journey there.
if we can figure out. well, I don't know if you've been following, but there's a trail being built that will connect all the states. It's going through all
no
the
way.
States from
That's awesome.
Yeah, from Maine all the way to Washington State.
Wow.
And I would love to do that. You know, go to Maine and roll from there all the way to Washington State,
oh
but it's not
God,
complete
crazy.
Yet.
Oh man, that,
that's crazier than Florida.
You come out of that looking like Forrest Gump, man.
Oh, I know.
I mean, man, all the that. The only thing about it is I would have to raise money or get sponsors to stay in like an Airbnb because I'm not a camper.
No,
it's not really my thing.
You make friends in every state. If you roll through Tampa, you could stay with us.
Yeah,
that's like, what you just make friends.
Local celebrity coming yeah. through, man. That's what I'm saying. You got some notoriety in the Midwest, and you're going to spread that message out now. You're mm-hmm. already doing that
yeah.
thing, you know?
I'm sure you'll have plenty of friends everywhere. There's plenty of couches to crash on, and we have an extra room, so.
You sleep in the studio.
Well, thank
man.
You.
We'll do another show.
Yeah. Oh, we have so much fun.
I know it.
Speaking of which, man, let's have some fun. If you don't mind, man, let's talk about some crazy Florida stuff.
Let's get into it. Cause I've been to Florida for spring break twice. So I know some crazy. I've seen some crazy.
Woo, doggy. Hey, Beatrice.
Yeah?
Get your ass in here. These No Offense boys about to do welcome to Florida again.
Let me grab the natty.
Oh shit. And I thought my family was fucked up.
Each and every week, our WTF Florida segment is sponsored by Official Clothing. Check out official.com, that's spelled O-H-F-I-S-H-L, and use code word HTNOS and save 25% off your order of beautiful handcrafted t-shirts, hats, and jewelry made by our homie Casual himself.
He also has masks now.
He does have stylish mask. Rona masks if yeah. you're so inclined.
Mm-hmm.
That's Official Clothing.
Live by your own rules.
You said DeAndre, you said you came down for vacation a couple times. What part of Florida were you in?
I went to Panama.
Okay, that's where people. Oh, look at you, Van Halen.
Panama.
That's where most people go. That's one of them spring break destinations.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah, because you hear the song and you just think titties.
Is that how
yeah.
it goes? Okay.
Spring break, Panama, titties.
I like where your head's mm-hmm. at tonight. I really do. I like where your head's at tonight.
In the titties.
First story I got is right here in our backyard in Largo, Florida. A woman attacked her boyfriend with a hamburger.
That's a waste of food.
Wait, with a what?
With a hamburger.
If it had cheese on it, I'm done.
Well, the first line of the story here is, she was booked for burgery.
Who wrote that one?
I don't know. You know where.
Dad joke.
I pull these things. They're getting more and more dad jokey every week. It says a Florida woman who reportedly spent 3 months in jail for battering her boyfriend back in October attacked the man with a hamburger Monday night.
She got in trouble last time for using a weapon.
Tanya Cordero, 47, denied that she smashed a hamburger into the alleged victim's face, but police say when they arrived at the couple's trailer park,
makes
the 39-year-old man, quote, had hamburger in his ear. Man.
Sounds like some kinky foreplay.
I think it's more like an open hand smack. She smacked him with it.
No, she got, fucking took it and was like.
You think more
yeah.
smush and
oh yeah, for
smash
sure.
and smush, smash and smush,
smash and smush. Okay. Smash
he
and
probably
smush.
Was like, "Should you be eating that?" She was like, "Fuck you, Johnny!" And then she was like, "Right in the ear."
Damn, right in the ear. Yeah. Well,
right in the ear.
I love the speculation. It says the conflict began when the pair argued about whether a window in their mobile home should. Whether a window in their mobile home that they share with the victim's mother should be open or closed.
Oh, my God.
You see how things just escalate from should I open the window or close the window to now you have burger grease dripping down the side of your face.
Too many bush lights.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, yeah.
The victim's mom owns the trailer, and Cordero and the victim have 4 children that are under legal guardianship of one of the grandparents. Cordero allegedly said she hoped the victim choked on the hamburger that she shoved in his face and was arrested with misdemeanor domestic battery and later released on her own recognizance.
Yeah, she shoved it in his ear and said, I hope you choke. She's smart.
What are y'all doing in Florida? My goodness.
Oh, man, it's a mess.
You know, we've been doing this segment. This is episode, I think, 137, and we've been doing it since about episode 37. So we've gone a good, mm-hmm. solid 100 episodes. episodes, weekly show, and have never run out of things to talk about.
98% of them happen in a trailer park.
A lot of them happen in a trailer park. A lot of them, you know, there's a lot of weird domestic abuse, you know, a lot of burger type situations happen.
I think
one
was a Chinese food situation.
Somebody threw a burrito across a room one time. Shout out Joe B.
What?
DeAndre knows Joe B. He was on any pod.
Did you hear about the frozen burrito?
I don't think it came up.
What?
So he tried to fuck this.
Come on.
He tried to fuck this chick with scoliosis, so he brought her back to his trailer. And all he had to feed her was frozen burritos. And she said, "Take me home."
Listen.
I paraphrased.
You did. You just paraphrased like a 10-minute story into 10 seconds, right. Okay? So it's just...
Frozen burritos and scoliosis. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, you hit the high points. You hit the high points.
Tried to fuck a bitch with scoliosis.
You definitely hit the high points.
Tried to feed her frozen burritos. She said, "Take me home."
She said, "Take me home." And I forget how it happened where we got him to unburden his soul about that story, but he was like, "I've never told anybody this. It's been 25 years. I've never told anybody."
I wouldn't tell nobody either.
Well, we ain't let him forget it either. We ain't let him forget it either.
I wouldn't have told anyone that either.
I wrote a song about him.
She did. She rapped to the beat of Straight Outta Compton and wrote a song about Joe B. She was spitting bars about frozen burritos.
Scoliosis.
Wait till I talk to him again. Just wait.
Well, I know what you can break the ice and open the conversation with now.
It's like,
hey, so I hear you like Mexican food.
Like frozen, to be specific.
Like a little burrito.
Yeah.
Next one I got for you is kind of funny. They're all kind of funny. Florida man was falsely arrested or was arrested for falsely representing the band The Village People.
What was he dressed like?
He wasn't dressed like anything because he was representing them.
He was a lawyer?
I think more like a management.
Oh.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Phone was ringing.
No. That's okay. That's cool. That's cool.
Our kid busted twice. Yeah. No biggie.
The last time I just got up and I don't know if you noticed, he slid the phone under the door and then I heard him go, "I can't reach it."
Trying to get me down with something else. Last time we told him don't come to the door, so he went outside and went to the glass door that we have on this side to the pool and knocked on the glass door.
No, he didn't even knock. He just was like pushed up against it like...
Bullshit.
So it says a Florida man pleaded guilty and was sentenced to
Federal supervised release, so he has to be supervised.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you're sitting on this side of the screen because you can help me. I'm slightly dyslexic. Forgive
me. He's on the D team for sure.
Falsely claiming to represent the Village People band and swindling $12,000 from the Mill Casino in North Bend, Oregon.
He said he was an Indian and they gave him money.
Howard Harlib, 67 years old. Man, and he's still out there running cons, man. Howard Harlib, 67, was sentenced to time served in federal prison and 3 years supervised release. Harlib has been in state custody in Florida since 2016. Holy shit. After being convicted on unrelated charges. According to court documents, in August of 15, the Mill Casino, owned and operated by the Coquille Indian Tribe, received a flyer from Harlib advertising the opportunity to book the Village People for a show at their casino. Casino employees contacted him, who spoke with them about dates, pricing, and other matters involved in the booking, and the same day he sent them a brochure with information about his company. Harlib then claimed that the band had a show in Las Vegas the night before, and they discussed dates, and it would be not an issue to get him to Oregon, you know, geographically.
Oh, geez.
He emailed the casino, they signed the contract, and they sent them $12,000.
Who hires the Village People? You can play YMCA over an intercom, and
but you don't
everybody
get the whole stage show. You don't get the whole stage show. I mean, like you said it yourself, there's Indian, the costume, there's the cop, there's the construction worker. Yeah. I mean, like, you got the whole thing, man.
You can hire strippers
It's a vibe,
for that.
Dude.
You can hire
it's
strippers
vibe.
To do that and still play it over the...
In Oregon?
Yeah, dude. If they got strippers in Indiana, they got strippers in Oregon.
I'm here to tell you they got strippers in Indiana.
I know they do. You've been there.
We've been there. Yes.
You have, not me. Not in Indiana.
Not in Indiana. After having difficulty reaching Harlib, the casino contacted another representative of the band, and they confirmed that he had no association with them.
How'd they get his number?
they probably like went through the legit channels and they like contacted the you know actual the actual people. Band. Yeah, it says he has a history of fraud and swindling dating back decades, at least to 1992. In 2004, he was convicted of third-degree grand theft in Florida for the exact same scheme, contracting with two victims to have the Temptations, the Supremes, and Jimmy Walker perform at their venues, and he had no ties to any of those people. After spending 5 years in prison for the conviction, he spent another 5 years for impersonating a doctor and possessing a variety of prescription medications.
At least he didn't do any procedures.
That we know of.
Oh, my God.
Just taking a shot, just taking a shot and saying, yeah, I'm the manager of the Village People. And they just paid them.
I guess once you're that far in, you can't, there's nothing else you can do. It's kind of like me when I was like getting into like accounting and stuff. It's like, well, this is my job now.
So he's just a career con man. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he could do something else.
Yeah. Be in jail. That's terrible.
It's crazy, man. That would be like just deciding to contact somebody and say, hey, I represent, you know, like whoever. And they're like, really? Cool.
Yeah, let me give you some money.
No fact checking or anything.
No.
That's none. None whatsoever.
That's crazy.
I'd be like, well, you're out your money because that's your dumb fault. You paid, so sorry.
I do think it said that he had to pay him back.
That's like one of those emails you get saying that, you know, the prince needs your money.
You know how many we get to the show email in my spam folder? If I go and I look, it's like, good day. I'm compliments of the seasons.
Scams and everything. Your mom came over yesterday and was saying she got a call from somebody from Social Security. Thank God she's not one of those dumb old people that was just like, yeah, here's all my information. Because the government don't fucking call you. You call them.
I'm surprised she didn't give it up.
She almost did, but then a little light bulb went off.
I'm surprised she didn't give it up. Next one I got one more for you. It's Sebastian, Florida. A Florida man was arrested for battery after his sister didn't offer him any spaghetti.
That bitch.
You're forever blaming the victim, girl. I think you just want some spaghetti.
I like spaghetti.
James.
What?
James Joseph LaMonaco, 51, told police that he was mad at his sister that she made spaghetti for her boyfriend and their mother, but didn't offer him any. The physical like altercation started when LaMonaco confronted his sister in the kitchen about the spaghetti. Quote, when the sister attempted to walk out of the kitchen, James grabbed her by the back of her ponytail and pulled her onto the ground. Once on the ground, he placed his knee on her neck, holding her against the kitchen floor for several seconds, the officer says.
That's terrible.
The officer says he noticed a visible red mark on her neck. However, LaMonaco said he only grabbed his sister's ponytail to, quote, help redirect her out of the kitchen because she was arguing with him. Ugh. I mean, like, that's what his rationale was. I only grabbed her ponytail because she was arguing with me. I mean, like...
I don't understand. It's just spaghetti.
Well, it must have been some good-ass spaghetti.
Right.
I don't understand.
I've never had spaghetti that good to make me want to hit you. What was that? Oh, my God. What was that? That I'm such a squirrel. What was that so good at Smack Yo Mama? What was that from?
I don't know.
So good at Smack Yo Mama.
Well, it's from Friday After Next, and then there's also seasoning from it.
That's what it was from.
Y'all tired of eating that barbecue from up the street? Well, to get you more sauce than to get you meat? Well, bring your big ass down to Bruh's Barbecue. 15837 South Crenshaw Boulevard. That's right off Manchester. Bruh's Barbecue. Tastes so good, make you want to slap your mama. Don't it, Willie?
Yeah, boy. Hey, mama.
What the hell you want with... Number one location, so it's near as you.
So good. You smack your mama.
Oh.
That must have been some good spaghetti, man.
Well, I get the sibling stuff because my sister and I are only 18 months apart. We fought constantly. She came after me with a pair of scissors one time, a screwdriver.
Jesus, really? And we're going on vacation her next week.
I kicked her in the face because we were fighting over the front seat one time and she tried to come through the driver's side. So, I mean, I get it, but it's different but it's different because he's a dude. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that over spaghetti on top of it.
Probably spaghetti. Anyway. Yeah, spaghetti.
Oh, come on. He's 70. I was picturing like a 16-year-old.
Well, I want to show you his mugshot because it looks like he's wearing the coat from like Fantastic Sam's. Like he was getting his hair cut when they took him to jail.
Maybe he wasn't wearing a shirt. I like that urologist in the corner there. You got an enlarged prostate? Try that.
Yeah, look at the side there. Holy shit.
Try that for an enlarged prostate.
he looks like he's getting his hair cut. Like I have to wonder if the sister was like just getting off at Great Clips and she was touching, but he's bald.
Maybe he was wearing an offensive t-shirt and they had to cover it up.
In a mugshot, they don't care, dude. Like you've
they
seen
do
some
if it's
of the
going on the internet,
bro. You've seen some of the crazy mugshots we've shown over the years.
Yeah, I think the worst shirt is like I'm with Stupid. They don't have anything too bad on there.
Yeah, but they got like facial tattoos and whatnot.
You can't cover those up, babe. You need to put a bag over their head.
I'm just saying. That's all I got. That's all I got for Florida. So I mean, it was I guess a semi-quiet week. You know, we had a little battery with food. You know, well, hamburger smush and smash. We got spaghetti ponytail. But you know, the village people and whatnot.
Everybody's still inside. Once they get out and naked, then it'll be all kinds of crazy.
Oh yeah, that's coming.
Once they get out and naked. Yeah, well, because I was gonna say summertime's coming, but it's here. I mean, like we're in June now. Mm-hmm. It's 98 degrees in the shade here. We're in full swing. So
it's muggy.
We're on phase two of the reopen, so everybody's just they're mingling again. It's
great.
Yeah,
yes. I'll stay in the house.
Mixing it up. DeAndre, I want to get back to you, man. I've got this little thing called Pod Decks, and it's an interview deck of cards, and it's just completely random questions, and I like to hit the guests with it just because it's stuff that you never would really think of. So I'm gonna bust out the Pod Deck, and I'm gonna get back to you and have a little Pod Deck session with
you.
If
the question's stupid, we won't make you answer it.
Yeah, we won't make you answer it. Okay. I'm gonna flip it over and just go right to the bottom.
Sometimes we're like, that's stupid. We're not doing that.
It says, would you rather be the best player on a horrible team or the worst player on a great team?
Ooh.
That's actually a good question for you, man.
A horrible player on a really good team.
Really? You just want the ring. Yeah. You just want the ring, not the fame.
I would, yeah, give me the ring and I'll just do what I can. I'll do my part.
There ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, like Robert Horry, not to say he was a bad basketball player, but I mean, like he's got the most NBA championship rings, I think, of anybody. And he was just a role player. I think he was like six man coming off the bench or something. Like he won with everybody.
I agree with DeAndre. I'd want to be the worst player on a really good team because when we were watching the dance for those last 7 weeks or whatever it was, like if I was Michael Jordan,
you want to be Judd Bushler?
Dude, I would be pissed. Because you'd feel like nobody's holding their own and
but
just
that's
be
just
like
it.
Constantly frustrated. And
yeah.
Even though they still won, it would still suck to hold that.
But he was, but that's just it. Like that example, Michael was yelling at the guys at the end of the bench the same way he was yelling at Scotty. Like he was.
No,
he
I know. And I wouldn't want that shit. I'd rather be the worst player on a good team and then still get all the high fives and get all the girls. And
never have to
take
off your shooting shirt. You know, you just still got your zip-ups on and everything.
Yeah, and just hang out and have fun and get paid $1 million. Like, that'd be cool.
Like Dwight Howard, you know, saying
I always said the best job in the NFL is backup quarterback because you hang out, you high-five when they come off the field, you hold a clipboard, you know, you maybe mentor a kid here and there, you know, like that's the best job there.
Yeah.
And you're a millionaire. So, I'm kind of with that. Who would you most like to sit next to on a 10-hour flight and why?
Jay-Z.
That's a good one.
And I have so many just business and ideas and questions and
that's what
why did he rap this and how did that happen back in Marcy Projects and what was this about? I'd have so many questions.
He had a show or wasn't there a documentary on him on Hulu?
On Jay-Z? I don't remember.
No.
I found one. I found one on Vudu.
Did you?
Maybe that's what it was. Because I remember watching the one on Wu-Tang. And I thought there was one.
Oh, that was a series. That was like a dramatic.
Right.
The Wu-Tang.
But I thought Jay-Z had one too. Or maybe he had a movie.
There's two. There's one called Reasonable Doubt and talks about the album. But it is also a documentary about him. It gets kind of in his life. And there's another one, but I forgot the name of it, but I only watched maybe 30 minutes of it and I can't find it. But he's got like at least two or three of them.
That's awesome. I would love to hear the story about because he made something for himself. He didn't have anybody to do it for him or write anybody's coattails. He did everything himself.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. It makes sense that you would want to talk to him because, I mean, like I said in the first half, I respect the hustle, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you're out there doing it. So, yeah, I'm sure he could impart some wisdom on you. What would be the worst ingredients to fill a burrito with?
Ooh.
That's a weird one.
Vegetables.
Pickles.
I love pickles.
Pickle burrito.
But yeah, that would not be a good burrito.
I don't think that'd be good.
Man. It'd be like different kinds of pickles. Be like, get some sweet pickles and some dill pickles and some buffalo pickles and just put them all in a burrito and put some cheese in it.
I'm open to trying things.
But they have to be dry because you don't want no sticky ass, soggy ass tortillas.
Juicy tortillas.
You don't want that.
Pickle juice just running down your chin.
Yeah, I don't know what much else would be bad in a burrito.
Toothpaste.
That's gross.
It's the worst thing, man.
It's like a whole tube.
Yeah.
You need more than a tube.
Yeah, toothpaste. And then you bite it and it's ugh.
Now I want to barf.
Well, that's, I'm sorry. Gross. I have that effect on my wife.
Shaving cream.
Shut up, man. How much would someone have to pay you to eat a live spider?
I need 500 million tax free.
I like the loophole you're thinking, man.
I'd do it for $1,000.
For $1,000.
But it'd have to be a tiny spider. I think the bigger the spider. Like, if you have to grill that shit like a tarantula over a bonfire, then it'd be more money.
Or like those huge spiders in Australia.
Those Goliath bird eating spiders.
Oh.
I need some serious dough.
That might make it better though, because like you wouldn't think that it's like a spider. You could break it down and you can section it off. You know what I mean? Because it's so big.
Eat it like crab legs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they are right. They're like related to shrimps or crustaceans. What is that? I'm thinking cockroaches are related to like shrimps. And I only know this because of Joe Rogan and Fear Factor.
Gross.
He said that someone had a shellfish allergy and they were trying to get him to eat those big roaches and then they had a reaction and then same family.
Because they eat trash.
They eat
shrimp eats nasty shit off the bottom of the water.
I'll do it for $1,000, I pictured you with the little skull cap and all dirty like the crackhead on the Chappelle show because it was in that Joe Rogan skit with Fear Factor, right. And he's like hungry and he's, can I have a second plate?
Yeah, it was like testicles or something.
Exactly. That's you.
Whatever, I'll do anything once.
We gotta eat that. I can't eat all of it.
What is something that people are obsessed with, but you just don't get the point of?
That's a good one.
Obsessed with, but I don't get the point of. It's actually a hard one.
Yeah, I can't think of anything, really.
I mean, I would say
social media, but I
was going to say it.
I get the point of social media, exactly. But some people just take it to a whole nother level.
This is like the I won't call us newlyweds because we've been together for 20 years, but it's like, I was going to say the same answer with the same rationale. I get it, but I don't get it.
Yeah, because we promote the podcast. Well,
that's it. Yeah, I post on Sundays and that's like it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't really know because I like when people are hardcore about like fitness and health because then they get me. I feel like if I'm around people that are really into something, that makes me more wanting to do it. Like if I'm around people that eat healthier and work out, then that's going to make me want to be a better version of myself. So, but I don't really have anything that anybody geeks out about.
I have one. This came to me. DC movies.
Who geeks out on DC movies? Tell them to lose your number, dude.
Marvel's cool.
Marvel's definitely good.
Our first son's name is Logan.
Yeah, after Wolverine.
I love it.
I tried to have a third one just so we could go back to the comic book because the little one, we didn't do a comic name with him.
I was trying to get him to go for Scott for Cyclops, but he wasn't having it.
Yeah, so Cyclops is a nerd,
he's
dude.
He's a nerd, but I like the name Scott. Nerd he was hot.
In the movies that need to be forgotten about because those X-Men movies were trash.
I know.
Well, they're getting better.
I hope that they're going to be better now that they're in like the actual, you know, MCU with the rest of the stuff.
I used to think
they're getting better.
Yeah, I used to think that like about like that with craft beer because I never understood it because everybody's like geeking out about it. I'm like, oh, I taste the nuttiness of the hops and the wood or whatever, and I'm like, I don't taste shit.
The hops and the wood.
Because I never really cared for beer that much. Recently, I like it a little bit more now, but before I was like, it just tastes like bitter nastiness to me. So that craft beer would probably be mine.
I've always been, and I've gotten better about this in my old age, but I've always been an against the grain kind of guy. Like, if I figure out that everybody likes it, then I don't.
Or like The Office?
Yeah.
It's mainly with, like, TV shows. Like, when people get geeked out on TV shows, I'm like, oh, fuck that show.
He just watched The Office now for the first time, and he rewatches it constantly.
What?
Yeah.
You're just now?
Well, like maybe, like, last year. I watched it for the first time, and now I've watched the entire series through 3-4 times. Like,
at least.
Nah, I dig it. Like, that's my jam. But yeah. Like, everybody used to freak out on him. I'm like, watching it.
It's hilarious.
I can tell you, I've never seen The Sopranos. I've never seen an episode of Lost. Mm-mm. I've never seen, you know, like, and like,
we don't watch The Bachelor.
Yeah, like the crazy stuff. Like, people are like, oh, I got to see Big Brother. I'm like, I don't watch that shit.
I don't watch those. I'm with you there. But like all The Office and Gotham.
Oh, I love Gotham.
I love Gotham.
Even though it's DC, Batman's probably the only DC character that
Exactly. I draw the line after Batman because I love Iron Man so much. Mm-hmm. What's the difference?
Right.
Millionaire. They got tools.
Yeah, like, they're nothing special. I mean, he's got, you know, gadget. Iron Man's got a gadget heart, but that's it. They're both real
people. His entire suit is a gadget.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Batman's, I mean, it's built, but I mean, it's kind of, it protects him from, you know, shot and being stabbed or whatever. So, I mean, I draw a line after Batman because I don't like Superman at all.
Mm-mm. I never listen to it.
He's a tool.
His weakness is magic. And if I call Chris Angels, he's done. I can't get behind Superman.
David Copperfield.
Everybody makes fun of Batman, though, because they say he's just a regular dude. But I feel like he gives other people power to be a regular dude and to stand up to crime and kick some ass. Fuck, be a badass. Batman lets you think that you could be a badass.
I respect it. Like the DC movie that came out where all of them were in it. And Flash asked him, what are your superpowers? And he said, I'm rich. I respect that.
Hell yeah.
I respect it.
That's a superpower for sure.
It is a superpower.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had that. Yeah. Man, we're either completely on or completely off, dude. Tonight's one of those completely on nights, man.
It's so sad almost because we're almost the same person.
Why is that sad? Like, I'm kick-ass.
I'm all right.
What's the worst pickup line that you've ever heard / dished out? I've never dished out a pickup line before.
Yes, you have.
What?
Dished out? I really don't use pickup lines, but what I've heard someone say, I was at a bar one time and I heard the classic one, did it hurt when you fell from heaven?
Oh no.
That one, I started laughing when I heard that. It was hilarious.
It works for some people.
What did you say when I said no, I didn't? You said yes, you did. What did I say?
I have cable in my bedroom.
Well, that was just me stating a fact, and you went for it, and you went for
that
it.
That was when we were like 18, and he had his own apartment.
So what?
And he had a big long. He's probably too young to know, but he had a cable going from the living room TV to his room, like down the hallway, to connect the cable because you had to have.
I remember those.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, whatever, we're going to fuck, that's fine.
I heard one in a movie. We watched a movie yesterday, and I heard one. It was that goofy guy that's in all the Adam Sandler movies, and he's like, are you in the marching band? Because you're making me horny. I was like, yeah, dude.
I love that guy.
How many times does that work?
Mm-hmm. Every time for that guy.
Yeah. What's the 50% of the time? It works every time. Right. Would you rather go 30 days without your phone or your entire life without dessert? I think that you could probably go without some dessert because you're a healthy guy.
I can go without dessert. Yeah. I can do dessert. That's
an easy one.
I'd be able to go without my phone.
You go without it anyway.
I know. My little one, it's his phone. He has all these games on there. I never use it. When my text goes off during the day because I work from home, I'm like, when my text goes off, you need to bring it to me. But for majority of the time, I don't have it. I can go without my phone for a month. Probably be nice.
We'll bust.
I know you can't. I know you can't not do dessert.
I could. I just.
Your
don't,
whole life.
I don't like to.
Your whole life.
I would love to give up my phone because I'm one of those people that I feel like super connected to my phone, and I hate that I am.
Well, you have to be because of the show, and all your friends are out of state.
I hate that. Like it's always on me. Like it's always in my pocket. You know, it's always close to me, and I hate that feeling. But I can't stop it. You know, I'm
super
accessible, and sometimes I don't like that. So I would love to try to give up the phone.
Yeah, because it's like you get a text message and he's like, you know that motherfucker seen it. He just ain't answering. That's you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. But I've been trying to get better by just leaving it. Like, I'll plug it in and leave it, or I'll leave it on the counter. You know, I'll just try to, like, leave it. And then, like, I'll go sit down and I feel like a crackhead. I'm, like, starting to, like, twitch. I'm like, I need to go look. Phone. Did it light up? I think I saw my screen light up. Let me go look.
Like, I'm just trying to play Angry Birds for 10 minutes.
I hate it. It's bad. What is something that you've never been able to do well?
Play basketball. All my friends are out playing basketball and I like try to shoot the ball and it doesn't, it's so interesting. I've been labeled as a sponsored athlete, but I don't know how to shoot a basketball, catch a football, throw a football, hit a baseball.
You're totally still an athlete. Yeah, there's you're like a crossfitter.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Iron Man.
Totally.
Yeah. You are Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. I think mine would be take a compliment. I never, even when I was like, you know, 50 pounds lighter and somebody would tell me, oh, you look nice today. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Shut up. Never. I'm really bad at taking compliments.
I'm with you. So am I. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
We are the same person.
I'm telling you, man.
Damn.
Also staying on a healthy lifestyle. I'm not good at that.
Yeah. Well, but we both are.
Yeah, we try. Because I usually do most of the cooking and the prepping and all that stuff. So when I'm in the mode to do this, he does it with me because I'm the one doing the cooking and stuff. But like when I'm just like, fuck it, we're just going to have chicken fingers, then he's like, I'm fine with that. So sometimes it hurts me and sometimes it helps me. You know?
It's true. Mm-hmm. This one's a shout out to our friends, The Plunge. Is a hot dog a sandwich and why?
I mean, it is in between two pieces of bread.
Right.
Dressed up.
And it's meat.
And you got it in, you know, your hand. It's hand, you know.
I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Hold it with your hand.
Right?
Our
friends, The Plunge, are another podcast, and they're a bunch of kids. They're like early 20s. So they always go to like the nth degree on like everything. And they, I think they took that and they spun that into. Like they were going through random things, like, and they were trying to decide if it was a ravioli or not. And it got to the point where is a pillow a ravioli because it's encased this and it's got the sheet and da da da.
But you can't eat it.
According to Hunter, you can.
See, I feel like a sandwich should be able to be flattened though. And if you flatten a hot dog,
dude, I love flat hot dogs. When you split those and you put them in the pan and you like make them flat,
then it's a sandwich.
Well,
but if it's like a bold piece of meat on two slices of, or like in a bun, I don't know.
But don't you smash the hot dog sometimes when you're eating it to get it all in?
Yep.
Yeah. I smash the bun to the hot dog, but I don't think I've ever smashed the actual hot dog. You know, like you squish the bun around it, so now you're just eating like a smushed bun hot dog. No? Nobody? Must be the Polack in me.
I guess.
What is the dumbest way that you've ever been injured?
It's irritating. It's dumb. But you know how you're not paying attention. You always hit your toe on the end of something.
Yup.
I hate those.
I was really, really hoping that it wasn't something tire related. Like you were like, no. I got up to the top of the hill and then I lost my grip and it rolled me over. Like,
No. If that happened, I'd bail. I'd bail out.
Mine is when I used to play softball. Like I was on three different teams. We played a co-ed team.
That ain't yours.
And yes, it is.
That ain't yours.
And he brings this football because he thinks he's got hands like Shaquille O'Neal.
I do.
This football was humongous. So we were playing catch with it.
That's who I'd want to sit next to on a plane,
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, that's my dog.
So we're playing catch with this football, and he throws it to me, and my hands are tiny. So he says I caught it wrong. So now this finger is crooked because this little joint up here.
It's not my fault.
Like got fucked up. So now, you can see my crooked finger. Compared to his other finger.
It's not my fault.
He calls it
you can see it.
Yeah, he calls me Willow. Because
she's always putting spells on me. She
my witchy
points
finger.
That crooked finger at me and starts pointing it around.
But that's probably the dumbest way that I've gotten injured was trying to catch a football.
Nope. No, it wasn't.
What is it? Getting pregnant?
God! That's damn! Not an injury.
That's not an injury. I disagree.
No, you got attacked by a dog.
Well, that's not dumb.
That was dumb. That dumb fucking dog tore up your whole arm.
Yeah, well, that wasn't a dumb way. That was scary as fuck. Oh. I worked in a grooming department at PetSmart when I was like, I don't know, 19 years old. And this guy brought in a Rottweiler to give it a bath. And as I was walking it to the cage, it decided it didn't like me anymore. And it bit my arm.
Yeah, those mm-hmm. are dangerous dogs.
Mm-hmm. He was only like two, too. I know. We had a dog. He passed away. It's been, what, 4 years now?
Something like
It'll
that.
It'll be 4 years this year. And we still haven't gotten another one just because it's like, it, we
he was my dog.
Almost feel like it's too soon still.
Yeah, he was my dog. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't feel right. Wouldn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Same way, like, I mean, if you died today, I wouldn't have another wife. You're my wife.
Well, you would, but it would just take a while.
No, I told you. I would probably have, like, female companionship, but I would tell them up front, like, you don't mean nothing to me. This is just to keep the bed warm.
Interesting.
You owe me nothing
to me. See, and I'm like, I'll marry for money next time, because I married for love this time, and we ended up working out pretty good. We're set. We're
took the
right.
long way around.
Took the long way around, but we got there, you know, so next time I'm marrying for money.
The dumbest way I've gotten injured, I think I've alluded to it a couple times on this podcast before, but I've never actually told the story. When I was 15, we were playing basketball, shooting around in a guy's driveway, and we lowered the rim down so we could do like crazy dunks and have a crazy dunk contest, you know, where like put it between your legs and spin dunks and all that. And I did this crazy, you know, again, shout out to Shaq. I did this crazy Shaq dunk. I like dunked it as hard as I could, and I snapped it, and the backboard came down, and it cut me across my head, and I had to get stitches in my head, and I fell back on my back.
Yeah.
And like, literally saw stars, and all the kids ran.
Yeah, they all ran away.
Left me in a pool of my own blood, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, you're fucked.
That was pretty dumb, because, I mean, it's a roll-away basketball rim in someone's driveway. It's not like it's mounted or anything.
And
I'm like, raw, Shaq Diesel.
Right. Kids do dumb shit all the time.
Yeah, well, I joke all the time, too. Like, when I can't remember things or I can't get my tongue to cooperate with what I want to say, I'm like, oh, shout out to CTE. But I'm like, I really do think I got a little touch of the CTE from that, man. Like, I was definitely concussed. And we're back in, you know, early 90s. They didn't really, you know, go through the motions like they do now. You know, like, they just were like, up, stitch him up, send him on his way, smack him on the ass. You're back to school tomorrow.
If he throws up, bring him back.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre, I don't want to run too long with you tonight. I know we started a little late, and we've had my kid pop in a couple times and interrupt us. Mm-hmm. But before we do go, I do want to thank you for sitting with us tonight, and I want to give you the opportunity to get your plugs out, you know, and tell people where they can find you and keep up with what you're doing.
Definitely, I appreciate that. And we had a good time tonight. We had fun.
I appreciate man. I was looking forward to this.
Yeah,
me too.
I'm glad you reached out, because I was thinking about it, and you know, like, your story being so heavily influenced with your dad. We're on vacation next week, so we're not doing a show, or we might, you know, squeeze one out ahead of time or whatever. But then the following weekend is Father's Day, and I thought this would be a great Father's Day episode, so I was going to try to save it for that. But then you hit me up, and I was like, you know, yeah, fuck it. Why wait? Let's just do it.
Right.
You know, let's just do it. So, I mean, it's a good story. It's a good story now. It's a good story then. I mean, like,
it'll be a good story, because we're definitely going to follow you and keep up with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Appreciate it. So on Twitter and Instagram, you can follow me, DeAndre D. Wilson. Facebook, LinkedIn, DeAndre Wilson. YouTube, Keep Rolling Campaign. And every default picture is me standing next to the tire. So,
unmistakable.
You can't miss me.
Mm-hmm. Unmistakable. For us, this has been another episode of the Hashtag No Offense Show. And if you're a new listener, thanks for stopping by and giving us a shot. And we hope you subscribe. And on whatever podcast platform you listen to, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and every other place you could grab your shows. Follow us on social media at HTNOS, HTNOS. Visit us on HTNOS.com. Send in those messages. I smile every time I get these crazy messages from you guys. And it does warm my heart to know that we're actually reaching you and that you're digging it. You can also call and leave us messages on the hashtag hotline at 813-773-5706. And don't let me get out of here without mentioning that we are part of the Inner Circle Podcast Network. Look for that at innercirclepn.com. And it's the whole squad of killers, including Simmons and Moore, Shit Happens When You Party Naked, The Hood Diner, The Plunge, and Failing Hollywood, as well as all the Inner Circle original programming that we're pumping out for you, like the Inner Circle Sports Show when there is sports, Slimmer Circle's coming back with those weight loss tips. We got Creature of the Night and full effect, the Winner's Circle every other Sunday for some trivia. Something for everybody. You'd be hard pressed not to find a show on Inner Circle that you don't love.
Agreed.
This young lady here is the Duchess Wutzke.
You're the real Wutzke everywhere.
And we together are the Hashtag No Offense Show. DeAndre, again, thanks for stopping by with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.